You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Again, and he's got it.
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored.
Abdul Osman against well. Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and not after three.
Yeah!
Goal!
Get it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the podcast that provides the fans' point of view on all things Northampton Town Football Club. I'm Charles Cummins, and as usual, I'm joined by the merry band of On the Beach Cobblers. It's Danny with his palm trees, and Chezzy with her grains of sand. How are you both? Are you well?
Grains of wheat, potentially, at this time of year as well.
Yeah, but you're near the beach. Come on.
And the beach,
it.
Of course.
Come on.
It was good.
I thought, guys, I'd change things up this week, and we'd go a little bit different, because we have a trophy to celebrate.
We do.
Oh, yes, we do.
There's the cup.
NTFC Women.
There's the picture you'll see on tomorrow's back pages.
Absolutely. NTFC Women have won the County Cup against that blue lot from down the road. Oh, yes. The match took place on Sunday at Wellingborough Town at the Dog and Duck, which is still possibly one of my favourite places for a football stadium to be, literally round the back of a pub. It's brilliant. I love it. 3-1. They won. Fantastic afternoon. I was following it on Twitter intently because I couldn't go, unfortunately. I know that they had a good crowd there. Danny, did you make it down? I know that you were hoping
to. I didn't to the end. No, I was hoping to. Things just didn't work out for me to go. But no, gutted to miss it, especially now. What a win.
So I was
watching the highlights, but you can tell like how good the crowd was. The noise when the goals go in is amazing from the sidelines. Always good to beat them, especially good after last weekend as well, after what happened in like really late last weekend, the league game. But, you know, we've got a cup from this one, so who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
About that. This is great. What a win. To come back mentally as well, to come back from that defeat and to go and beat them. Oh, it's so good. It's always good just to beat them in any form. But this was great. And this was convincing as well, by the sounds of it. I haven't seen anybody's in-person reports yet, but by all the reports I've seen so far and all the highlights and stuff, it does feel like it was a deserved win. It wasn't scraping by.
Yeah.
And lovely, lovely scenes afterwards as well. So I've been watching all that on social media just now. So, and just brilliant. And glad that we've been able to get something from this season that's tangible, because we deserve it for sure.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, some people might be thinking, oh, it's only the County Cup, but actually in women's football, the County Cup is probably, weirdly, as it seems to us having watched men's football, you know, all our lives and grown up with how it works, the County Cup doesn't matter where you are in, you know, which area of the country, but it's actually above the league in terms of priority, not necessarily, you know, I want to put this here, but not necessarily for the clubs themselves, but in terms of the actual precedence of the structure of the competitions in the women's game, the County Cup is actually above the league. So that if there are games that are scheduled to be played in the league and the cup, like if you get through to the later stages of it, then league games will be postponed in favour of those cup matches taking place. So this is a big competition for the women's team to actually be involved in and to win. It's, you know, I know some people go, oh, it's just the equivalent of the Mansell Cup, but it actually isn't. It's quite prestigious in women's football. And, you know, it's not like how in the Mansell Cup you might expect to have, you know, if they were entering every season, the Cobblers and Peterborough basically playing in the final if they were in opposite sides of the draw every year. You know, last year, we didn't make the, well, the women's first team didn't make it to the final. The Devs made it to the final and lost to Peterborough, if I'm correct in saying
that's
that.
Right, yeah.
That's right from memory. So this is like not just, as you said, Danny, about, you know, last week and not winning that game, losing it in the last minute. Horrible way to lose a football match. Great way to win it, of course, but horrible way to lose it. But to then back that up this weekend by actually going and yeah, as you said, convincing win, a good win.
Stuffing them.
Absolutely stuffing them. 3-1's a lovely scoreline. That's brilliant, and it's payback for last season where we didn't manage to get there and to do it. And I know that Josh and Liam, the managers, basically felt the same. They felt that they were a little bit harshly done by last weekend. Not that anything, you know, it was themselves that cost them, if you know what I mean. So to go and do this weekend is fantastic and really, really good. And I think the fact is that you've got a 2-week break now, I think it is, and then six fields, two Sundays from now.
Yes.
It's the last league home game of the season. Is it the last league game of the season, Danny? Yeah, altogether.
Yeah, last one. Yeah.
Against Notts County at Sixfields. So they'll definitely be parading that cup around the pitch.
Oh, they've got to.
Full time. Yes. I'm sure they will be.
I want them to parade brilliant. It. And I want one of them, this is probably, they've got 2 weeks to do this, by the way. Mm-hmm. So there might be time to sort this out. I want them to be parading it before the game. And I want someone, I've probably got the person in mind who I want to do this, to follow them and chase it, but dressed as a slug, chasing them around the pitch and not quite catching them when they're parading the trophy around the pitch and just crawling behind them. Saying, oh, can't get it. I can't reach you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be quite funny.
There you go. Damon, sort it.
Damon, sort it. That would be funny. Damon Fox on the Community Trust he's talking about.
No, to be fair, I've never seen Damon walk or run slowly anywhere in my life, so I don't think he'd quite fit slug outfit.
The way he was running around Cars Bar on Saturday.
This is every Sunday at the women's game. This is Damon's life. He just pegs it around doing all a million different things at once. I love him.
Brilliant. Just to wrap it up, it was goals. In the opening 10 minutes, by the way, we went 2-0 up. I think Jade Bell opens the score. Of course she did. And then Alex Dix got the second. Posh did get one back before halftime, the slugs. But we came back out in the second half and Kim Farrow blasted one in from 20 yards to make it 3-1. And that was the final score. Thanks to It's All Cobblers to Me sponsored player Katie McLean in goal, who produced a cracking save late on. And it just meant that the cup was raised. And I think the cup was raised fantastically well by Zoe Boot.
If you've seen it. Oh, it was brilliant. Yes.
Loved the way that she did that. It was absolutely brilliant. Just a great way for, you know, the season to come towards its end is to go and get yourself a cup. Absolutely brilliant. And it's a nice cup as well. You've seen it? It's kind of...
It's a nice cup.
It's kind of... I'm going to say... stubby, but in a nice way. It's like when you go and get, you know, in the summer, when you just get that, you can get a crate of those French beers that are like
beer doors.
Yeah.
Beer doors from Tesco. Like,
I mean, because they're fabulous. I love them. It's a bit like that.
Barbecue beers.
Absolutely love it. Summertime beers. Yeah. So congratulations once again to everybody involved at NTFC Women. It's been a really good way to come towards the end of the season. Hopefully, we will get to send you off in style with a bumper crowd at Sixfields in a couple of weeks' time when we play Notts County in that last game. It should be a really good occasion now that we can show off the cup. That would be.
Yeah, parade it.
Parade it.
It did, yeah. It should be great. And do if you're listening and on the fence, please, please, please come down and show your support at Six Fields. It'll mean a lot to all the players, I'm sure, to see a big crowd there. Let's try and break that record because, I think last time was Mother's Day, so it was quite difficult. It was pretty bad weather. There was other stuff going on at the same time. No excuses. 2 weeks' time. Get on down there. Come on. So I'll give you all a Haribo, every person who comes through the gates. Small print probably
won't. Yeah, exactly.
but come on down anyway.
From jubilant celebrations to...
That's a really good way of putting it there, Charles. Absolutely.
The men's team on Saturday, they finished off their home campaign in League One, their first season in League One, of course, or back in League One, I should say. They were playing Exeter City. It was the battle for 12th. And unfortunately, the Cobblers did not win it. A 2-1 defeat for the Cobblers in the end. Now, I know how me and Danny felt when we left the game. Chezzy, I don't think I saw you as we were leaving. But felt really, really deflated. I didn't feel like, not just the game, but the whole, like, not, you know, 90 minutes of actual football, just didn't really feel like I suppose it's just a sign of the fact that, you know, we're safe, we can't do anything this season, but it felt, apart from the Exeter fans who I thought were great,
I didn't it like their flat. Rip-off Wurzel songs. I shall tell you that for now. Did not appreciate I just, those ones.
At least they were singing.
This is very true. And I, as say. You well know, I have a lot of respect and time for Exeter. And that was said in jest, of course.
Yes.
I think they were brilliant, actually, their fans. And there wasn't a huge number of them, but that didn't matter, if that makes sense. And rightly yeah. so, actually, because, you know, it's a bit like us. They're not going for anything, so I wouldn't expect them to sell it out. It's a long way to come, but they made a day of it. I think we felt a bit flat, and I think potentially that's because of what went on in the game. I think on reflection, and I've thought a lot about it today, I think it felt worse having been there and actually having watched back. And I know we talked about this earlier on, Charles, is that actually I think it was far better than what it felt like in the ground. And actually, obviously, Sean is the king of having the highest standards in the world. But particularly in the first half, he was consistently saying, it's just not falling for us. And it kind of felt like that all day. I mean, the fact that poor old Hoskins is in the position he's in for the second goal later on in the game probably tells the story of the match, really. If that kind of thing's happening, it's just not your day. Yes, okay, we were to a certain extent the creators of our own downfall, but not to an extent where you were really frustrated and cross with them, if that makes sense. It was just a bit like, oh, really? That kind of thing.
I think people were cross. I think actually some people were cross with them, and I was cross with them at the end of the, like, you know, post match, straight after, immediately. I just felt a bit like, oh great, you know we've supported you all season. Yes, we've had a great season on, you know, the face of it. There's no getting away from that. You know, so many people had us for, you know, being relegated this season. No, we never thought that, but we have, you know, we've surpassed all of our expectations, if I remember rightly, in terms of what we predicted. I know I predicted 16th. Well, we can't finish any lower than 15th now, so we've, you know, gone above and beyond what I thought. And I guess people are looking at it and going, we're still coming to the games. There are still games to play. And some people are saying that it didn't feel like there was the usual kind of blood and thunder, I guess, from the players, in terms of, because there wasn't really anything riding on it. It doesn't really matter if we haven't picked up an extra 3 points as such. And I kind of understand that, but I, at the same time, I don't know. I look back at the game today, And actually, I thought we played some really good stuff, especially in the first half. And as you say, I think actually we were just a bit unlucky with, you know, we probably should have been going in at half time, at least two goals up on them. And it's just not quite gone our way. You know, there was one goal mouth scramble, wasn't there, from, I think it was Kieran Barry had the shot, hits the bar, comes back down into the penalty area, and there's a couple more shots go in that get blocked or keeper set or whatever it was that happened.
Yeah.
I scramble. Yeah. I actually think that in a way we were a bit very unlucky in that sense. And I actually feel like my initial reaction and disappointment was a bit unjustified.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on it, especially after like the Fleetwood game and stuff. And I think a lot of people come into the last home game of the season, me included, thinking you want a home send off. Mm-hmm. And there's more pressure on it, I guess, than a lot of people realize, than you realize in your head. You put it in your head, you think, what's the perfect scenario here for your last home game of the season? You get, you know, you win the game, Mark Leonard scores from 30 yards, they get to come off with 5 minutes left, Kisser and Bowie and any of the loanies that might want to say goodbye and get to get their big standard ovation and get their moment. You have it all in your head, don't you? And I think the players probably pick up on that a little bit, that there's that pressure on it. And to them, it is, as much as we can talk about on the beach, whatever, it's probably not fair to say on the beach. We've discussed that before, discussed why we thought they have been. It feels like it's just a couple of games too much for them at the moment. And I think that's fair enough. There's two ways to look at it. You can look at it as the performance itself, which is difficult because it's, second half is against 10 men. You expect just to come back and do something. It's disappointing to lose against 10 men. But on the other hand, it's the basis of the whole season, which has been hugely enjoyable. So it's very hard, I think, to sit here now at the end of the season and think, you know, anything, but it's been a great season. I think Saturday is quite a lot of pressure on us, you know, despite it being a mid-table battle, just to try and give us that finale and that big finish. And yeah, disappointing not to, but at the end of the day, a day later, it's a lot less frustration than it was, for sure.
I think that, because there are, I know that there are those fans out there who sort of think that it hasn't been a great season, because at one stage we were up to the point where we were looking above and could we get, you know, even a playoff sort of place. And I've seen people say things like, if you're okay with mediocrity, then I'm trying to remember what I actually saw, but it was something like, if you're okay with mediocrity, then you're, like, sarcastically said, then you're just the type of person that we need supporting the club. And I felt it was really harsh, because I was just like, so it's not what's, mediocrity.
What's mediocrity? No. What is mediocrity? What do they expect us to do? There's not that much difference between 10th place and 15th.
No, I think personally, it's a couple of
bounces of the ball. It basically is what it's been.
I think it's basically frustration on the fact that, you know, essentially once we've got to the point where we are safe, we've then played it safe in a way. And like, you know, we've discussed before, I don't think any of them go out there not trying to win or anything like that. I think there's probably some kind of subconscious thing, though, in the back of their mind, sort of going, well, we are safe. We have done the job that we came here to do this season. I think the fact that I've said this before, as Cobblers fans, we've almost been spoiled over the years, because we've always had something in it right the way through the season until the last game. For the vast majority, I'd probably say a good 99% of seasons, there's always something on it come the final day of the season. And because this year, with maybe five, maybe even more than that games to go, we've actually been like, well, this is okay, isn't it? Job done already. Fantastic. And I mean, while you celebrate that at the time, you've then got to go through those next however many games it is that's left. And in a way, it feels like the season has just been drawn out a little bit now because of the fact that the job was done.
There's two ways you can look at it, I think. The first one is, and probably one that I think maybe is a little bit underestimated by fans, not necessarily by the club, because we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But I think if we are trying to aim for as high as possible, that in turn is going to entice players of a higher standard to the club. That's just a fact. And also it looks better in terms of looking at the more long-term future of the club. That's kind of where we maybe might miss out slightly. However, the other side of it, which is in the more immediate future, is the fact that actually I think John Brady and his team are probably going to be looking at this going, well, we know we're safe. We can't really lose too many places here. We can lose a couple, but it's not going to be catastrophic. But what we need to do is look at what is going to happen in pre-season and what's going to happen in the first couple of games of the season. Now, if you look at some of the players that we're effectively nursing back or players that potentially we know need to be looked after over the summer, etc., etc., we're rotating our squad a little bit. We are, for example, Hoskins didn't play the first half on Saturday, came on about 60 minutes. And that got kind of ironic cheers effectively from the crowd, which I don't see the problem with it on the basis that if we are protecting the kinds of players that could be key to early success next year, I don't think anyone can argue with that. I think we can all sit here confidently and say that League One next year is going to be far harder than it is this year, just by the level of teams that are potentially coming down and the ones that we definitely know are coming up. So I would rather us fall away slightly and be more prepared than the alternative of going and forcing fatigue type injuries to some of our key players that we know and then losing them for a chunk of either pre-season or early season. For example, he hasn't played Tyler McGlaw and he said he could have gambled that and he hasn't. And I think that's probably a good thing. Now, whether we see him against Barnsley doesn't really matter because it's not enough football, I don't think, to define either way. I think we need to look at the immediate future in order to protect what we've got, because it's all right sitting here and saying, oh, well, we've had a great season. That's amazing. And John Brady knows that, but there's absolutely no point in having that unless we back it up with next season as well. We've talked a lot over the last few months about how this season needs to be celebrated. And it does, because in isolation, it's been absolutely incredible, a magnificent season for so many reasons. But we'll all be sat here at this time next year kicking ourselves if it all falls apart because of poor planning. And if the planning is standing in the way of a couple of extra results at this point in the season, I don't care, frankly. I really don't.
I think that's a fair point. Let's go some three-word reviews then of the game. Yest said, attacking options needed. Mark Chapman, as a few did, said on the beach. Time for cricket, said Matt Bass. The Autumn Cobbler said, out of steam. Buckets and Space, says Daniel Darwood. Hoskins fell asleep, said Simon.
Yeah, he did.
See, at the time when the goal, the winner went in, I thought exactly that, which is that Hoskins has kind of just thought he could almost just put it, well, I thought at the time what had happened was that he was almost shepherding it out and hadn't realised the player was so close to him and the player had actually, you know, stolen in front of him essentially and got it in. But when you look at the highlight and you see what it is, Sam makes a mistake. I'm not denying that at all. It looks like Sam is going to try and hook it away, maybe to try and get it to go out for a throw-in. And when he does that, it basically rebounds straight off the boot of the on-rushing Exeter player. And then you wonder, well, if Sam just basically toe-pokes it straight out for a corner, straight in front of him, then that goal doesn't happen, and that's where the mistake is. I think he knows as well as anyone that, you know, he made a mistake, and there's no point in dwelling on that at all. Ian King said, finished with whimper. Mark Josiah, serious recruitment needed. I think we've just kind of said that, haven't you, Chezzy, about that? Ashley Hardy said, useless against 10. think it's very, very difficult. I mean, Exeter set, immediately went defensive, didn't they? You know, and literally
they knew what they were doing, didn't they?
Yeah,
like they've done it. They've done it before this season as well, a few times. Won yeah. 10 men.
They know the how to play.
They know exactly what to do. Yeah.
Samo, 1982. Thomas B. Sampson says, Mark Leonard, privilege.
Yes.
Yeah, agree with that. Time for summer, said Carl Scott. That was bad, said Mark. Ironic booing Guthers, says Tyra. That was probably my favourite part of the whole game. Obviously, the sending off that occurred. Was it Ryan Woods? Have I got that right? The player that got sent off? Headbutts, or at least goes to. And, you know, let's just say Guthers gets headbutted and falls to the floor. And the red card is produced immediately. Cue lots of boos for John Guthrie every time he gets the ball. I thought it was ironic that they also started booing Sam Schering because he'd gone down and needed treatment at one stage. So they were booing both of our centre-backs for a period of time. But then, of course, when Guthers goes and gets an equaliser, I loved the fact that it was almost like everyone went, yay, and then immediately went, boo.
I love that he got man of the match as well. Yeah. That could have been almost perfect.
That was funny.
If we'd have got something from it, it would have been absolutely perfect. But obviously not quite. Yeah. But whoever was in hospitality played a blinder. So well done, whoever you were.
The Exeter fans got tired after a while once they realised how much we gave the ball to Schering and Guthrie, because they're just like, usually just expect boos to come every 5 minutes. But you know, the amount of times we pass it along the back, they think they're like, oh, let's have this for a game of cards.
Exactly. Yeah, well, can't be bothered to keep it up with this.
No, gave him a nice boo as he came into Carsbar as well.
Yes, we did, didn't we? That was good. Sean NTFC, I don't care that it's three words and one number. No.
Oh,
Bilsey, a disappointing farewell. Steve Scott, happy with season. Overall, fantastic season, says MK Cobbler. Rob Sapwell said, hospitality quiz victory.
Yay!
Quiz?
Nice. Well, it's always nice to hear that there's somebody won something in hospitality. I enjoyed that. Paul Broadhead said, Charles Commons missed. I hope we were going to avoid that. Yet I've just got to read it out. we're not talking about that. Stewie B said, end of season. Paul Moss, second best today. We needed 12, said Phil Agius. Reverse result deserved, said Dave Durston. I think actually that's probably the most positive one that we've had, because like I was saying before, we did have lots and lots of chances. It's just that Exeter managed to, you know, keep us out. Lots of blocks and things going on from their end. I do think that we were the more attack-minded team for the majority of the game. Important summer ahead, said Cobbler Sean. Hoskins, Humdinger, Howler, says L. Barnes. L. Barnes Ward, sorry. Dave Covington, I like this one, Dave. Exeter were sextier. Ridiculous.
Love it. Yeah. Three-word review of the week.
Oh, there you go. I thought it might be. Leonard Bowie, thanks, says Anthony Hobbs. Shooting training, please, says Mr. Stark. And as always, we finish with Chris, who this week says 14th stays up.
There we go.
Lovely stuff. Lovely.
Do you want some Facebooks?
Very quickly, please, Danny.
Very quickly. Rob Duncan says, on the pool. Ken Birch, worrying end of season. That's four, Ken. That's four words, Ken.
Be more Ken.
Don't be more Ken.
No, sorry, don't be more Ken. Why not, sorry.
Loud? Giles says, clueless cobblers again. Kathy says, disappointing home game. Adam Hazeltine says, Hoskins not interested. Liz Duncan says, in the pool.
Oh, no, not the Duncan again.
I was with them when they both did that, and I thought, oh, dear.
Keely says, very underwhelmed. And a last one I'll pick out, because I saw it down here, is from the Doublet or Bottlet advertising hoarding that says, ouch, that hurt. So there you go.
You bastard. Time for a short break now. And while you're listening to the ads, do not go and look at Instagram and see me fail to score a Doublet or Bottlet or whatever the flipping competition's called. Did score the first one.
You did. It was very well scored.
It wasn't. wasn't a complete embarrassment. I'm okay. We're on Patreon. If you'd like to support what we do, this nonsense, then you can do. Just sign up, £5 a month. That's all it costs. You get loads of extra stuff, including other episodes, and the community, of course. And it was lovely to see so many of our Patreon community on Saturday. We did a pre and post match meetup inside Cars Bar. Went really, really well. Was really nice to see everybody. And yeah, so if you'd like to go and become a member and join us for the next one, patreon.com/cobblers2me.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. We've discussed the couple of games that have happened over the weekend involving Cobblers sides. So a couple of talking points that we thought we'd mention. The most obvious one we're going to start with here is the FA Cup, guys. FA Cup replays, of course, were scrapped earlier in, well, last week. The FA and the Premier League announced that FA Cup replays will be scrapped from the first round proper onwards throughout the whole competition from that moment on. That was basically the biggest part of the announcement, I think, that was there. I want to take this in two parts, please, folks. So first of all, Danny, your opinion on scrapping replays and only scrapping replays, please.
On only scrapping replays or not the decision-making process?
No, we'll do that secondary. Yep.
Okay. I think... okay. Scrapping replays still... Yeah, I don't think it should have been done at all. I think it's... If you're going to do it from third, fourth, fifth round onwards, maybe. That's a little bit more understandable. I think doing it for first and second rounds, even third round, actually. No, they shouldn't have been done at all. I'm just reworking it around in my head as we go. But no, I don't think it should be scrapped at all. If you're a big club, so to speak, if you're complaining about too many fixtures when you're expanding the Champions League, and I know I'm dipping into the other side of it, Charles, mm-hmm. but if you're going to be moaning about that, and if you're going to be saying, we don't want replays, we don't want to go to Barrow on a Tuesday night, win the first game then, you tits.
Take it seriously.
There's a really simple solution to all of that. If you don't want an extra game, either win the first game or don't enter and get out of it, because we don't want you in here if you're going to complain about it. If you just want to go and chase the money of your Champions League or your Europa Conference Pizza Cup, then go and chase it and leave us alone to have the glory and to have the amazing moments that this cup can make. So go away or win the games and move on. Thank you.
Agreed. Jeffy, on only scrapping replays, for, against, what is it?
Absolutely 100% against. Okay. I think it's catastrophic in terms of the precedent it sets in terms of where we are going within football. There is a lot of awful stuff going on with football at the moment. I mean, the FA Cup final has been a perfect example of it, I think, today. And
Semi-final.
So it's been, you know, this week has actually questioned my love for football, genuinely, just as a wider issue, not because of Northampton Town. I live and die on Northampton Town. But I actually think that we are putting up a barrier for grassroots football in which we should be lowering. And all we are doing is we are creating a bigger barrier for grassroots sports and for the opportunity for children in particular to go and fall in love with football. Now, yes, of course, they can go off to their normal games in the league and go and do that. But The FA Cup is a magical thing and it should not be tampered with. It's historic. It creates moments, big historic moments for clubs that can make or break them. If you look at many, many years ago, Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United single-handedly saved Exeter City from going out of business and being liquidated by getting a replay in an FA Cup tie. And that's what the issue is here. The issue is here that we are not just the Premier League. We are football as a whole. And there are a huge number of teams, over 700 teams. And we'll come on to that bit in a minute. But in terms of football is a massive part of people's communities. And without the lifeblood of those communities, we are at risk. And if we do not have the money in which the FA Cup produces, in particular replays, we are going down a dangerous road in terms of cutting off the blood supply in terms of finances and the opportunity to get big financial gains. And that's not okay. That's not okay at all.
Okay. So I'm actually of not completely opposite what you two have said, but personally, I don't have a massive issue with getting rid of replays in the competition altogether. I do think, however, that if it was to be done, then it should have been done for the whole entire competition. So it should have been the grassroots, you know, the prelim rounds, that shouldn't have replays either. I think you should have the same rules all the way through the competition from start to finish. Let me put it this way, is that they've not had replays in the FA Cup from the fifth round onwards.
Yep.
For a couple of years now, maybe a bit longer than a couple of years. And it hasn't been a massive detriment, I don't think, having that. So therefore,
Clubs are in the fifth round, though? What kind of clubs have reached in the fifth round? It's quite rare for smaller clubs to reach that point, right? So the reason there's not been an issue is because most of the clubs that get to that point are quite happy for there not to be replays because they don't need it and they don't need an extra game or whatever.
Okay, so the thing that I would say, and this is quite a harsh line to maybe take, but you know, on it being a financial thing, run your clubs better. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't be relying on a cup competition to make sure you can still be solvent.
I completely
understand and love the fact that a good cup run can give you extra to allow you to go and get, I don't know, an extra striker or what Lincoln did a few years ago with the training complex, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's brilliant. And that's great, but you should not be relying on a cup run to solve the problem that you are financially unstable. That, to me, is just a complete no-no. So I disagree with that, and I put that completely to one side in the argument because I just don't think it is a valid one.
I think it's slightly different in terms of the fact that I don't think there's enough appreciation for... There's a lot of clubs, if you think like way, 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 way down the pyramid, like, for example, near to me where I am, Taunton. Taunton are going through hell in terms of trying to keep the club alive and they physically just can't do it. They're run well. It's a good community club, but the actual costs of running the club are unsustainable. And that isn't their fault. They can't do anything about that.
No, so surely then scrapping replays even further in the preliminary rounds would actually be good for them because they wouldn't have the potential of the extra games with the extra travel costs and all the other extra costs that they get. That, you know, I think from a financial perspective on that way, and, you know, look, I might be wrong and I might be completely, you know, at odds with everybody else. That's fine. But for me, when it comes down to it, I look at it and go, you know, there was probably the same amount of uproar over the FA Cup. One of the things that I keep seeing people you know, say is that the FA Cup should just be left alone completely and should never change. Well, if we go back 30 years, there used to be replays even for the final. And it wasn't just one replay and then you went to extra time and penalties. It was replay, 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 replay until you got a winner.
That's madness, isn't it?
You know, that has... Yeah. Well, this is it, right? You've just said that's madness. So, but at the time, I guarantee you, people were going, how dare they change the competition? This is not good. This is not for the benefit of the fans and, you know, X, Y, and Z. I guarantee you that there would have been the same kind of uproar. Obviously, it wouldn't have been as public because social media didn't exist back then, but there would have been the same argument being leveled at that change. I think football, whether you like it or not, does have to move with the times and does have to move on. I don't like the fact that, you know, for the second point, how it's gone across and how it's been done and how it's been basically the Premier League turning around and going, this is what we want and this is how it's going to work from now on. I've got a major, major issue with that because it should have been a full game consultation. The EFL is a membership. The EFL is not one thing. It is made up of 72 member clubs. And those 72 member clubs should have all had the chance to vote on whether or not to scrap the replays or keep them, if you want to look
at it. And then the ones further down as well, right? Or everyone involved, yeah.
And exactly. And then the National League and then, you know, basically every affiliated member to the FA, to the English FA, should have been given the chance to vote on this. And it should have been a case of, right, even if it was a 49-51 split, and we all know how good those are, even if it was that, then at least you could turn around and just go, democratic. Here we go. You know, look, it's democratic. Everybody has collectively, as a whole, come to this conclusion, come to this decision.
And also,
some people won't like it, some people will.
As well, with what you've just said, you know, one of three of us thinks, actually, do you know what? I kind of see it. I hate it personally. And I think everyone's fairly confident as to where I lie with the replay situation. But Danny says the same as me. I don't think he feels as strongly as me. Charles, you're like, absolutely not. I totally disagree with you, which is absolutely fine. So there's three of us and one of us is going, I'm not sure. So that's a third, right? Of this, just this selection of human beings that disagree or agree. So if you've got 730 teams, I know it's not 100%, it's like 729, isn't it? But they might have got away with this if they wanted to do it, if they'd have sent it to a vote, because there must be and there will be more people that sit in your camp. There'll be people that sit in my camp. There'll be people that are indifferent. So when if they put that vote out to all 700 and whatever clubs, I guarantee it's not going to be 100% fight. We know 20 teams. Of course it's not.
No, of course,
and they probably would have got away with it.
Yeah, but I still look at it in this way of going, even for the Cobblers over the last couple of seasons, like, don't forget, if you take into account the semi-finals that happened over the weekend, the first one was Chelsea against Man City. Man City win it 1-0. It was fairly boring and uneventful from what I saw. Whereas the second semi-final between Coventry and Man United was a game for the history books. It was brilliant. Absolutely fantastic game of football. And you look at it and you go, it was Manchester United playing Coventry City from the Championship, a Coventry side that has played more games than Manchester United this year, despite the fact that Manchester United have been in Europe, despite the fact that Manchester United will have been one of the key voices in the Premier League saying, let's scrap replays, let's scrap replays. If anybody should be arguing about scrapping replays, realistically, it should be EFL clubs because they're the ones playing more games, because they already play more games just domestically in their league, let alone with all the cup competitions that are added onto it. The thing that I look back on over the last 3 years as a Cobblers fan is we've had horrendous situation with injuries, and having replays will have caused us, you know, if we'd have actually made it through, you know, round one in those 3 years, obviously. But if you look at it and you say to yourself, right, we've talked about whether or not the FA Cup or the League Cup and, you know, the other one, got taken seriously enough or not by the Cobblers in the last few years. I'm not going to have that conversation, but let's just say, for the sake of argument, if there hadn't have been a replay, like, there as a, that's what you'll get if you don't win outright this game, would we have taken and tried to win it maybe a bit more? Would there have been less changes to the side is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the players went out there and didn't want to win it. I'm saying, would there have been more first team players involved straight away from the off? We want to go and progress to the next round. We're going to do it right here, right now, because that is the only option we've got now, is because this is going to go straight to extra time and penalties if we don't win in the 90. Rather than putting another fixture into our long list of fixtures and add to any congestion. That's where I'm not saying it's a good thing not to have the replay. I'm saying I'm looking at it from the perspective of, I think that might be a bit better when you're looking at how many games are getting played in a season.
Yeah, but like this comes back to the whole point of who's making the decisions, right? You talked earlier about you've got to move with the times, right? You said, let's move with the times. Whose times are we moving with? We're moving with the times of six clubs, essentially, or however many clubs are involved in Europe. We're moving with their times. They're not, they couldn't care less about our times. They couldn't care less about how many games we play. I don't, like, some Premier League fans probably don't even know how many games we play in a league season.
No.
The amount of ignorance I've seen on social media and in anything else over the last couple of days of fans from the top six, they don't care. They honestly do not care about how this impacts. They don't understand how this impacts lower league clubs. That's the whole, and the thing that pissed everyone off was not the fact that replays happened, it's the decision making that went into it, and it's the fact that once again we're at the behest of six big clubs at the top of the league that are making or seeming to make all the rules and having the power, and that's not okay, because like this FA Cup belongs to all the teams. Like, there's this stupid advert on the BBC over the weekend, this game's for everyone, like trying to sell the FA Cup final between Chelsea and Man City a couple of days after this has happened, and it's ridiculous because it doesn't feel that way. And again, they'll come back in, what, October next season. This is the FA Cup first round. It's the best thing ever. Like, let's, you know, watch these six games from the first round and join us as we celebrate these grassroots teams reaching the first round. And then, you know, it turns into this story where all that really matters is the big clubs, and it's pathetic. Like, it just feels like we're constantly, this happened with things like the Super League a couple of years ago, where the fans of these clubs came out and violently protested this decision. But, you know, when it comes to at the end of the day, if they're not really that bothered about what goes on in League One and Two and the National League and National League North and South, like, they couldn't care less from what I've seen. And it's sad. It's really, really sad to see the way that football's going. And it had me really kind of low on football going into the weekend. And thank God I had Saturday, because the amount of people we saw, the happiness that came from that community feeling around Sixfields, despite the results, despite the performance, I mean, everything like that. That's what football is all about, really. And it feels like it's becoming more and more about the top four, five, six teams or clubs, so to speak, in the country and not about the entire football population. And it makes you not want to go up there. It makes you think, yeah, quite happy for the rest of my life to watch the Cobblers in League One and Two, because I enjoy what it is. That's a sad thing, because you want to have that ambition to get up to the, you know, you always think about, you always talk about, oh, you know, once in my lifetime, I have to have one season in the Premier League just to know what it feels like. And more and more, it feels like,
I don't want to do it. I don't want to be in that position. I used to be exactly the same as you, Danny. I'd love to have a season in the Premier League. I'd hate it. VAR is ruining the game. The decisions the top six are making is ruining the game. I don't care for it. And if you look at what is going on in the Championship and League One and League Two in terms of the jeopardy that can still take place within those leagues, it is absolutely fantastic entertainment. And I just think that the financial side of football is horrendous. Of course it has.
It's all become top heavy, hasn't it? It's become so top heavy. But at the end of the day, I think you have to be realistic and acknowledge that that is always going to be the case. That, you know, it would have been the same back, you know, before the Premier League existed. Division One was the pinnacle of English football. It was the highest division. Therefore, it had the best teams in it. And, you know, unfortunately, with the way that, I say unfortunately, but, you know, the way that things transpired, the Premier League got created and lots of money then came into the game, you know, but only went to those clubs up there in that bit, in the Premier League, didn't come down. I mean, you know, that's where it's all kind of gone tits up, let's be honest with you, is the fact that from the creation of the Premier League, the whole of English football changed. It wasn't just 20 clubs or whatever it was, 18, I think, you know, initially. It wasn't just a small section of clubs that were affected by it. It was the whole of English football changed from then. And it was because we went from being 92 football league members to then only being 70 plus what is in the, you know, however many it was in the Premier League. And you're not going to get that back. That's not, you know, that's gone now. I think it's quite telling in a way when you look at what the statement was that the Cobblers put out. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the start of it, which said, Northampton Town Football Club were extremely disappointed to learn through media reports of the changes being implemented to the FA Cup starting next season. The FA Cup is the world's oldest, most historic cup competition. Changes that alter the very fabric of the competition should only be made with everyone involved and consulted, including all leagues within the football pyramid, supporters across the game, and clubs at all levels of football in this country. The club haven't actually come out and said, oh, you shouldn't be scrapping replays. The issue here is the way that it has been done. And the fact that, as the club have said there, that they learnt about it through media reports. So they weren't told in advance. The clubs weren't given a statement from the from the FA or whoever in advance of that statement going public. So all of the clubs found out.
Football's losing its soul.
Apart
from
the Premier League,
it's losing its soul through decisions like that.
And that's the bit.
It's having football done to you as well, isn't it? It's like, this is what's going to happen. And
yes, it's a dictatorship.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly what it is.
There we go. Rant over.
Maybe we just could have a six-team FA Cup next season. Yeah.
I want us to do that.
We all boycott it next season. It'll just be the top six.
I would, personally.
Playoff.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. The Open Forum takes place on Thursday. Yes, we're hosting an Open Forum at the football club in the 1897, Toller's Solicitors 1897 suite. Sorry, Toller's 1897. Yes, Chairman Kelvin Thomas and supporters elected representative Tom Cliff will be on hand to discuss plans for the new East Stand and answer questions on any subject from supporters. I am led to believe that CGI images of what the East Stand insides, at least, I'm presuming that outsides as well, but I don't know for definite, insides at least, will be released before it. I want it to be released before it. I'm going to say that now. I would rather have people, you know, have time to digest them.
Digest it.
Yeah. Before they come to the forum. But yeah, that's happening. 7 o'clock, Thursday, April 25th. That's this Thursday. Come and join us as we will facilitate your questions and the answers that will come for those questions. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good one. Hopefully as many people turn up. If you've got a question, just come and ask it. And if you can't make it, and I mean you can't make it, you're not just, I'm not going out of any principle or whatever. If you can't make it and you really do want a question to be asked, then send us an email, podcast@cobblerstome.com, and we will collate it and we will take it with us. And we will ask the question on your behalf. So send that in. I will say this. We will give precedent? Yeah, to the people that are there in the room. Less of me talking and more of other fans talking, the better, I think. So yes, come along, 7 o'clock on Thursday. We're in the Toller Solicitors 1897 suite, which is where hospitality takes place. It should be a good evening. Okay. Let's go into the postbag, shall we, for this week. Got a couple in here, Danny, from what I can feel when I put my hand in the bag. Would you like to pull one out for me?
I'm going to pull this one out. Tara has been in touch. Mm. Tara says, what do we think to the new food offerings and what would you ideally like to see at Six Fields? I assume this is. Assume she's not talking about our meal plan at home. Wasn't there new, was it Old El Paso?
It was Old El Paso, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't have time to try it, but I assume it's nice.
It looks Mexican. I mean, I will be honest with you. I do have a bit of a fascination with Mexican food. I do enjoy it. And it is definitely an option that I would want to go and chomp on.
I do think if we get, which inevitably we will again next year, we'll go back to having some sort of squeaky bum time towards the end of the season. Do we really want to have Mexican before the squeaky bum time fixture?
Yes.
That's my only thought about that one. I thought middle of the season or like midwinter, definitely get that in there. But when it gets to April, May and you're battling relegation or you're going for the playoffs, do you want a spicy taco or nachos before you know, a squeaky enough bum already? Don't want to be running to the toilet every 5 minutes, do you?
Oh, dear.
That's my concern. But yeah, what else can we see? Bangers and mash. Get it in there.
I think Stockport do a really good, like, pie, peas and mash.
Oh, I've heard this, yes.
And, I think if you can, because, I mean, this is always going to be the issue, I think, isn't it? Is if you are outsourcing your, whatever you want to call it, food stuff, then you are at the mercy of what is, you know, the contractor provides as to whether you can deliver something really, really good and really nice. I mean, look, Old El Paso is good, but I mean, I'd rather us concoct something. Can we just have like a beef cobbler or something? Yeah. You know, surely have something that was like, us, you know, Stockport having pie, peas and mash. I mean, that's quite a northwesterly type of food stuff. So therefore it goes quite well. So, I mean, if we came up with something.
A great big lump of cheese.
That was Northampton town.
I mean, that's a Somerset thing and very personal to me, but, you know, I like cheese.
Yeah. But I mean, I think if you did.
Saga shoe.
Saga shoe.
Yeah. Saga shoe.
I know where you're trying to go there.
Yeah, I think if you I think if you go and get, you know, something that is relevant to, you know, you as a place, then that adds, and you do it well. That's the important thing, right, is that you do it well, because rat burgers and slimy hot dogs are just like, you know, they're, I hear all the time, I hear Cobblers fans saying things like, the food's terrible and it's overpriced. Well, it's overpriced for, you know, what it is, let alone the fact that you're then at a football match where prices are always going to be higher because you're caught there, aren't you? That is your only option. There's no competition. So people don't do it, don't pay their money. And, you know, are we missing out on money there because of the fact that the food isn't good enough? It's a question. Maybe something for the open forum.
Hmm. I would be in favour of an old jelly stand. in honour of old Jelly Legs himself.
Would a certain person be
serving it? Possibly, yeah. If it's not in the squad, yeah. Why not?
Love it.
Old Jelly Stand. Bal has been in touch saying, do you think any of the current youth players could force themselves into first team squads and even the team? With recent apprenticeship winners, should we be getting them more involved? Exeter have got a history of youth that's second to none and would love to see a stronger pathway. So Exeter have got, what was it, 700 odd games with a player from their academy in the team, isn't it? It's a mad stat that they've got going on. I've got to be honest, I don't know if any of them are good enough. I haven't seen anything of the youth team, really, apart from a couple of games in the Vroom Vroom Vars. So I'm not really sure. I do like the look of Ruben White from what I've seen of him on clips. And I think I went to the FA Youth Cup game once this season, the one game we did get to. But whether they're ready for the first team, especially in League One, I'm not sure. It's a difficult one because I'm not really sure.
I think that's part of the issue. I think our actual promotion probably set back some of those youth team players in terms of breaking in. I know it's slightly different because I'd probably consider Max Dyche as a fringe player now, but Max Dyche is a really good example of this, as excelled at youth and started to break in, but by us being promoted has set them back slightly in terms of it is a bigger level to match. And that's really hard. I like Ruben Wyatt, like Danny. I really do like Ruben Wyatt. I think he was good. The only thing I would argue, and it's a very delicate balance, but there's always the argument, oh, we just play your youth. But the trouble with that is it's not always successful. And not only is it not...
They've got to be good
enough. Yeah, firstly that, but secondly as well... if you take, for example, just Bowie and Leonard as the two loanees that we've got, we've put ourselves in the shop window to some really strong Premier League and high-end championship clubs that want to loan their players to us. That's a fact. And if our loanees are eclipsing the ability of our youth team players, then it's unfortunately taken out of our hands in terms of who we want to pick. There is no way in this world that any of our youth team would be anywhere close to either of those players' ability. And so it's a really difficult and harsh line to take, but actually they have to be good enough. And if they're not as good as players like that, well, they're not going to get in.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that you always hear the argument of, you know, why are we playing Premier League youth over our own? But I think that part of the issue is that, again, this will end up being another rant about the Premier League and how they dictate everything. But essentially, if you look at it, then the way that Premier League clubs are able to, you know, scoop up talent in put it into their academies from a very early age, and they may not make it, those players, but when you sort of look at how certain, because this is the thing for me, is that the players, and I don't want anybody to think I'm saying that they're not very good or anything like that, but the players that make it through our academy all the way through to the point where they get onto, you know, into the verge of making it into the first team, they've essentially been overlooked by all of the big top Premier League academies or Championship academies. All those big academies have looked at them and gone, no, we don't want them. And so therefore, it's, you're not going with the, you know, the best that you can possibly take. I find it really annoying that essentially it's allowed to happen in this way. Because you are getting essentially, kudos to any of the players that do break through. You know, Sean McWilliams obviously did that. You know, Max Dyche and potentially Josh Tomlinson as well, you could argue. And also there's Ruben Wyatt, who you mentioned as well, that could come through. But if you look actually historically at the vast majority of the players that do come through and that have in recent years come through, got into the first team, played a few games, you know, for the first team, been on the bench a few times, and look at where they are now, they've probably found their level in the professional game, in the adult professional men's game. And unfortunately, partly that is because of the fact that the Premier League already knew that they weren't good enough, if that makes sense. I say the Premier League, I'm hoisting them all together into that bracket. But anybody that is half decent at 14 gets taken. You know, Chukwuemeka, who's at Chelsea, got taken when he was, what, 14 or something like that? Yeah. You know, Villa took him. I think if we just relate it back to Exeter and why they are so good at being able to bring the players through, I don't know this for a fact, but I wonder whether their geographical location has a lot to answer for that. Where we are, we're surrounded by top tier academies that are only maybe an hour or 2 hours away from us. And so therefore it's not a massive upheaval for kids to then go and train at, say, Villa or Leicester or, you know, wherever, any of the London teams as well. So whereas with Exeter, that's obviously a bigger journey. And does that then take into a fact that, well, actually, no, I don't want to leave my local area, because parents, who will have an awful lot of say in it at that age, will turn around and just go, no, we're not able to travel, or we're not going to relocate to this other place so that you can do that. You can stay here. And I don't know if that's necessarily the truth. But I wonder if it's part of it.
I think if it's part of it, though, surely Crewe would have had the same issue as us, probably even worse up there.
Aren't Crewe a higher tiered academy, though, already? Aren't Crewe one of those top tier academies?
Maybe.
Because they're great.
Exeter put a lot into it after their, ironically, if we talk about their cup run, didn't they? And things like that. But yeah, whatever it is they're doing it well.
Yeah,
because it's not it hasn't been let's throw someone in there for no reason. It's been purposeful. But yeah, difficult one. Final, can I bring up a point of order, Charles, before we move on?
You can, as long as it's not to do with half time on Saturday.
It's not. No, not at all. It's just to do, I just to say congratulations to Cobblers fan Stephen Tomlin, who ran the London Marathon today in just over 4 hours, which is nuts. We were talking about this earlier, how long it takes. So 4 hours, 8 minutes, which is a fantastic time. I know it beat his last year's time, raising money for Great Ormond Street Hospital as well. So well done, Stephen. And Owen smashed his target as well. I think he can probably still donate. So yeah, do get in touch if you want to do that. And we'll share the page. But well done, Stephen. Brilliant effort. Good stuff.
Well done. Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Danny. As always, you can send your thoughts and questions to be read out on the pod, podcast@cobblerstome.com, or find us on social media. Just search It's All Cobblers to Me. Now, just before we go, we're aware that the end of season awards night is taking place. Actually, as we speak, as we record, it is going on, and several things have happened. And we'll just very quickly mention a few of them. So head of media, Gareth Wilshire, has been recognised. 25 years of service to the football. 25 years, Gareth. That's I think amazing. It's very unfair that they put a picture up on Twitter of Gareth with hair. very unfair of them.
Well,
just
Cobblers
to sort of
you,
show
though,
everybody, this is how the Cobblers affects you. But yeah, loads of good stuff. Obviously, the Golden Boot winners were awarded with some trophies. So Sam Hoskins took home the award for the first team, men's first team, and Jade Bell topped the scoring charts for the women's. Neo Dobson picked up the award for the youth team, which is great. A nice bit of news here. Sam Schering has won the men's PFA Community Champion Award.
Go on, Sam.
That's great stuff. Because I think that will be an external thing, right? That won't be just an internal
club. I think it would be, yeah.
Club.
Yeah.
So that's really, really good. And some other awards have been given out as well, including the Disability Player of the Year, which has gone to Matthew Percival. And Football and Education Students of the Year are James Owen, Ruby Heseldon, and Madison Carter. That's all we know for the moment. I mean, we can probably guess who's going to win Player of the Season.
Yes, we can.
Mark Leonard.
Yeah.
Goal of the season, probably.
Well, let's not give it away, Charles, because we've got our own awards coming up in a couple of weeks.
That
time.
Is true. The Bayos will be.
This is obviously just the precursor to the main awards of the year. yeah, excited for the Bayos in a couple of weeks' time once the season is done. I think that's going to be a real big celebration pod of all the season has been, because once you look back on it, it has been pretty special, hasn't it?
Yeah, reflect on the whole thing. It'll be great. That's it. Thanks very much for listening this week. Coming up on the pod, we've got the League One Lounge, which is exclusive to the Patreon. Go and join that. We'll be talking about the rest of the league's action and news from over the weekend. And also, I think we're going to leave it until the Tuesday night fixtures have been played as well this week. And that will be out later in this week. What else are we doing? There's a preview show on Friday.
Yeah, last preview show of the season.
Yes, it will be, won't it? You'll be talking to a Barnsley fan, hopefully, Danny. Looking forward to that. That'll be out on Friday. And then, of course, we'll be back here next Tuesday with It's All Cobblers to Me, where we'll be looking back on the final game of this League One season. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you later in the week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tulips.
There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division One. Bring them on because we deserve it.
Sports Social Podcast Network.